This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 6th. I'm Jeff Bosser. Coming up, the first in a two-part series on the ethanol industry. Shauna Lee from Chicago will talk about politics, science, and the economics of the new ethanol. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The suspended director of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District may know his fate later today. AM 580's Tom Rogers has more.
Last May, the Health District Board suddenly placed Vito Palazzolo on administrative leave without an explanation. He's still been on the district payroll since then. He'd only been in the director's position for 16 months and had built up support in the department. But a newspaper report suggests that Palazzolo used his credit card for personal purchases, such as meals, and spent Health District money on a pickup truck and other items without board approval. Board President Carol Elliott says the board has been delayed in ruling on Palazzolo's job because of scheduling problems. Today, the board may decide whether to pursue a criminal case over the allegations. The CU Public Health District Board meets at its new headquarters on Kenyon Road at 1:30. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Another week and Illinois remains without a state budget. Illinois political leaders have been unable to reach a deal, but as Amanda Vinicky reports, they're working on it.
The work has involved several private meetings, all involving the top Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate. Governor Rod Blagojevich has been kept out of the talks, but Blagojevich is still a player in these discussions. The governor has said he'll reject any budget that fails to include his universal health care plan. The negotiators have been unfazed and continue to work on matters such as education spending and a statewide construction program. Those close to the talks say the leaders have agreed to a basic budget framework that would pump millions more into schools, and they want to vote on it early this week, in time for the state to process payroll and the first school aid checks of the new fiscal year. Even if the General Assembly succeeds in passing a budget, the governor remains a wild card. If he decides to veto what the lawmakers send him, an override could be necessary to keep the state operating. Blagojevich has been vague on what plans are in place if the budget impasse continues much longer. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Authorities in central Illinois plan an autopsy today on a 26-year-old man who died while boating with friends on Lake Shelbyville over the weekend. Officials say University of Illinois graduate student Tungi Tungun lost his balance and fell into the lake. He wasn't wearing a life preserver. If you like Coke better than Pepsi, you may soon find your preferred soft drink harder to find, at least when you're on property owned by the state of Illinois. Pepsi Americas Incorporated recently beat out Coca-Cola to be the sole beverage supplier to more than 2,300 vending machines on state property. That includes at rest stops and some university campuses like the University of Illinois. Pepsi machines are expected to replace Coke machines at those locations within months. The 10-year deal makes Pepsi the exclusive vendor for the state and requires that it pay the state around 50% of the price of every drink. The contract could generate up to $64 million for the state and around $27 million for the University of Illinois. Officials had said the winner would be chosen based on how much money its offer will generate for the state. A recent Indiana University graduate has decided to make his next step in life joining the Israeli Army. 23-year-old Munster resident Daniel Cohen said he's fulfilling an obligation by serving the country where he was born. He leaves tomorrow. His ties to Israel run deep. His cousin was killed in a rocket attack on an Israeli train station, and his father served as a paratrooper during the 1973 Yom Kippur War. Cohen was born in Israel in 1984, and his family lived there for 5 years. His father, Chaim, said Daniel needs to find his own fulfillment. His mother, Naomi, said she's both worried and proud. Cohen was an IU communications major who served last summer as an intern at Fox News in Chicago. The Chicago River is likely to be better known for its annual St. Patrick's Day dye job than as a source of food, but experts say fish from the urban waterway are safe to eat, in moderation, that is. After Mayor Richard Daley said he'd be willing to consume fish from the river, the Chicago Sun-Times caught several and sent them off a lab to be tested. The testing found that rock bass, bluegill, and pumpkin seed fished out of the river can be safely consumed, just not every day. Tom Hornshaw of the State Environmental Protection Agency says all three contained mercury and other toxins, but that the levels of contaminants were very low. At least one conservationist wasn't biting, though. Lloyd DeGrain of Perch America says anyone eating fish out of the river isn't taking their life seriously. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. The fuel that moves our cars may be getting a tune-up soon. Ethanol is taking up more room in American gas tanks lately, but Congress and the President want even more, a lot more. They're embarking on an ambitious plan to create ethanol from new energy-rich crops. Critics call it audacious and worry the plan could backfire with higher gas prices and few environmental benefits. Shauna Lee brings us a series of stories on the politics, science, and economics of the new ethanol. He begins with the politics.
If you only catch press conferences and sound bites, you'd think there's no common ground on foreign policy. But there is. Here's President George Bush's latest State of the Union address.
Extending hope and opportunity depends on a stable supply of energy that keeps America's economy running and America's environment clean. For too long, our nation has been dependent on foreign oil. And this dependence leaves us more vulnerable to hostile regimes and to terrorists who could cause huge disruptions of oil.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin often fights with the president over foreign policy. But Durbin applauds that section of the president's address.
We have been drawn more frequently into conflicts in recent years in countries involving oil. So when we talk about displacing oil exports to the United States with home processed fuels, it's part of a foreign policy debate.
Congress and the president also agree on a partial energy solution. They want homegrown ethanol to replace more gasoline, and they all support a new kind of ethanol to replace the corn-based kind. It's called cellulosic ethanol, and the president praises it.
We must continue investing in new methods of producing ethanol, using everything from wood chips to grasses to agricultural wastes.
We can't grow enough corn for all the purposes that it's being used and even expect to get close to providing the fuel that we need for our cars and trucks. It may mean that in the future, when you drive around Illinois, you wouldn't be looking at cornfields. You might be looking at fields where you had switchgrass or some other substance which has become a better feedstock for creating ethanol.
Politicians hope cellulosic ethanol can cut oil use and be cleaner for the environment than petroleum. But watchdog groups are scrutinizing both claims before Congress finalizes cellulosic ethanol mandates. On the environmental front, there's Henry Henderson. Henderson directs the Natural Resources Defense Council's Midwest office. Henderson's keeping an eye on the ethanol industry because it's growing quickly here. He says the country produces almost no cellulosic ethanol right now, but the Senate wants 21 billion gallons in 15 years.
This is a gigantic lift within a very short period of time.
What could possibly be wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing in principle wrong with it. The question is, how do we get to such a mandate?
Water is just one problem with ethanol. Ethanol distilleries practically gulp water from rivers and underground aquifers.
There's been a progressive and aggressive mining of groundwater in the Midwest so that the aquifers are being depleted and sinking lower and lower. That has an impact on the availability of water for communities and households and for businesses.
And Henderson says more ethanol production could have other downsides. You see, ethanol factories need heat and power, and they get heat and power from dirty fossil fuels like natural gas or coal. Henderson says Congress can get cellulosic ethanol mandates right, but lawmakers have to make ethanol production meet higher environmental standards. But what about energy independence? Could cellulosic ethanol kick our oil habit? Well, economists say the Senate mandates might cut oil by 7%, but the shift could be expensive.
Some of the big unknowns is whether, from a cost competitive standpoint, biofuels can compete with your traditional petroleum resources.
Mark Gaffigan is with the Government Accountability Office. He keeps an eye out for government waste. If the Senate gets its way, future ethanol tax breaks might cost $17 billion per year. The GAO report calls current ethanol policy tangled, even contradictory at times. Why does this matter so much? I mean, what's at stake here if we get it wrong?
We end up using more fossil fuels than we need to use.
That GAO report was published shortly before the Senate voted on its big energy bill. The Senate passed the bill with Senator Durbin's help.
I think the GAO study, as far as it went, was reasonable. But I think more than ever in my political life, I've seen a bipartisan appetite for doing something significant about energy and the environment.
Durbin says environmental and fiscal problems can be worked out, but we have to move now. Cellulosic ethanol is getting support from oil companies, and it's gaining political momentum. Congress and the president continue to brawl over a divisive war, but for right now, they'll accept cellulosic ethanol as a political victory, even when the science and the economics behind it remain uncertain. I'm Sean Alden.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois, expect hot and humid conditions today. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms expected, the high around 92 degrees. The heat index readings around 100 this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, the low around 72. Hot and humid tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high around 95. Again, heat indices around 100. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 72. Partly sunny Wednesday, the high around 98 degrees. And heat index readings around 105 to 110, mostly cloudy Wednesday night through Thursday night, with lows in the lower 70s, highs in the mid-90s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News. We'll be right back.